I was watching a PBS show a couple of nights ago, and it was on the coronation of Queen Elizabeth of England. She's sitting in a room with the commentator looking at the video from her coronation. She even said this was the first time in 60, I think it was for the 65th anniversary of her coronation, in 65 years that she ever even saw any of these images from her coronation, which surprises me. So she was going through the different moments of her life that day and commenting on the coronation rite itself. And she had to wear a special garment when she was crowned. She was anointed. She received the orb, the scepter, and then the ultimate was the crowning itself. It was really something to see, and it was the first time it was ever broadcast across the world in 1953, because television was only very new in 1953. Today we reach the end of our church year. It's kind of like our liturgical New Year's Eve. Next Sunday when we gather, it will be the first Sunday of Advent, which will begin the new liturgical year, and once more we will walk with Christ through his birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection. This feast was established in 1925 by Pope Pius XI. He offered this feast day shortly after World War I. The devastation of the Great War touched every part of Europe, and many leaders of Europe were now gone, and some even the countries that once existed before World War I were completely annihilated. And he wanted to show to us in 1925 who is most important. Who would be the supreme leader? Who is the great monarch? Communist Russia was already spreading her errors, and Nazi socialism was on the rise. And Pope Pius wanted us to remember Jesus Christ is king. He is the supreme leader, the great leader, the best of leaders. Look to him and not to political governments. In the gospel, we see a sharp contrast between the coronation of Queen Elizabeth, for in our gospel, we are seeing the coronation ceremony of Jesus Christ. No royal robes, now bare naked before the people. Not shouts of God save the king, but sneers and jeers from the people. No trumpet blast, but an inscription of here is the king of the Jews. No royal throne or orb or scepter, but a cross, nails, and a crown of thorns. Here is our king, reigning glorious and universal from the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. A person seeing their king in the 1700s commented, "I wish the royalty would be more common." And a man standing next to him said, "I wish the common people would be treated like royalty." Jesus has done that for us. Jesus has made us a member of his royal family. If he is king and the Son of God, then by his life, death, and resurrection, he has made us sons and daughters of God. Therefore, we are all members of a royal family. Jesus, who is king, set aside his splendor to become like us in all things but sin, so that he could raise us up into the everlasting life of grace in his kingdom, just as he did to St. Dismas, the good thief from the cross. It is only Jesus who can offer us a kingdom of light, happiness, and peace. Christ brings himself to us and asks us to give ourselves to him so that he can take away all that is dividing us, all that separates us from him, all the dark corners of our lives, and allow him to rule over us and to guide us and to lead us closer to the Father and into eternal glory. So as we turn this year of grace over to our Lord, it's a good time to pause and to thank the Lord for all the gifts and blessings and wonderful people that have touched our lives throughout this year, and to ask also his blessing upon our future, and to remember to thank him even that through the difficulties of life, the challenges we face, the disappointments that we have, he was by our side, leading and guiding, comforting and directing. And so as we turn this year over to him and ask for his blessings of the new year, may we remember who we are in Christ, members of a royal family, inheriting everlasting life with him in heaven.